You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey people, it's Friday. Welcome to the socially distant sports bar, also known as Distant Pod. This is part two of this week's episode, by the way. If you want to listen to part one, that was released on Wednesday. So have a look on your little timeline on your phone and on your appy thing and scroll back one. There we go. Hi. You can listen to that one first, then listen to this one. It might make more sense. If you want to get in touch with us on any of the social mediums, we are at Distant Pod on all of them, I think. Certainly we are on Instagram. Certainly we are on X. On Facebook, yeah, I think we are the same. I think you can find our page there. If you pay us money every single month for the podcast and you are part of our Patreon offering, not only do you get more of the socially distant sports bar, but you also get access to a Patreon Facebook group, which I would say we all interact on different levels. Ellis reads everything that's on there and will sometimes interact with people if he isn't off filming something or, you know, recording a different podcast to this, which is the vast majority of his time. Mike will interact to the point where you'll get more bored with the conversation than he will, and he will actually continue on there after you've stopped talking to him. I kind of float around in there and sometimes will comment if I get my hackles up enough. So if you want to be involved in that, head over to patreon.com/distantpod. Have a look at how much all that costs. I'm not going to tell you now because people get annoyed if I try and upsell. So go to patreon.com/distantpod, have a look at that. If you want to get involved there, get involved there. You get more content. You get a podcast called Michael Owen's Movie Club that we do about sports movies. You get a podcast called Hoffy Pod that we do every single month that's just about things that we like rather than just sport that we like. And you get half an hour extra content on every single episode. If that's not your thing, that's fine. Okay. Continue listening to the podcast in this way. And that is all good. On the Patreon as well, you get it. I think, yeah, you get it on a Tuesday. So it's early release. I think they call it that. Early release, which is a very positive way of phrasing things. And ad-free as well. So those are the benefits of it. If you're not into that or you can't afford it, then that's perfectly cool because you have part two of this week's episode about to land right now. Documentary time on the socially distant sports bar. It was my choice this time round, and I chose a documentary on Channel 4 that was called Amputating Alice.
This is Alice. Don't worry, she hasn't drowned, but she has just had her leg cut off. Ironically, though, that's jumping ahead. Alice Tai is an elite athlete. She's a Paralympic gold medalist and a world record holder. And a lot of other cool things as well.
A special week for Alice Tai, and she's still not done yet.
Alice has a condition known as bilateral talipes, or club feet, something she was born with.
Alice, shout hello to Grandad.
Her swimming career was put on hold after major surgery a few years back, which is when I met her.
It's Alice Ty!
I'm living the dream, it's amazing.
2022 was supposed to be Alice's long-awaited return to the pool at the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. But there was one hitch. Alice decided to have her right leg amputated 7 months before the start of the Games. When Alice told me this, I had a few questions. One, why would she want to cut her leg off? Two, did she seriously think she could go from amputation to gold medal contention in just over half a year? And three, why wasn't anyone filming all this? Alice started swimming when she was just a kid. Turned out, she was pretty good at it.
I've been to European Championships, Commonwealth Games, World Championships and Paralympic Games.
No one can stop Alice Ty this week.
And I've won gold medals at all four of those competitions. The most recent competition was at World Championships in 2019 and I got 7 gold medals and was overall top athlete. So that was pretty cool.
Alice Ty, irrepressible in London.
Well, Alice has been a fixture of the British team for quite some time. She's a standout swimmer and an amazing technician as well.
So much expectation and hope placed on this young lady heading into this championship. And she is answering absolutely everything.
Alice is an absolutely incredible athlete. Anybody who's won countless world championship, Commonwealth, European medals at such a young age, that shows you that she's even got way more room to grow into.
Years of walking with crutches resulted in Alice needing operations on both elbows in 2019. After 2 years out of the pool, she decided to act on a plan she'd been hatching since she was a teenager, to get her leg amputated.
I brought it up when I was 13, just from seeing athletes around the pool with amputations and prosthetics who had more mobility than me. But they were just wary because when you have an amputation, when you're still growing, the bone can continue to grow. I had to have a psychological assessment to make sure that I wasn't just impulsively deciding to get my leg off. I've had a couple of consultations with the surgeon already, so hopefully today we get the date, which is very exciting.
So, this is about Alice Ty, who is a British swimmer who has won multiple gold medals at World Championships and a gold and a bronze at the Paralympic Games in Rio. And she gets an injury and has an operation on her elbow, and that puts her out of the 2020 Paralympics because they were delayed until 2021. And while that is ongoing, Alice, as you'll have heard from the clip there, decides to have her right leg amputated below the knee. So Alice has had her feet are facing at 90 degree angles, sort of inwards, for her entire life. So has always struggled with walking, has been in constant pain, which to get to the point where you then decide to have your leg amputated is something I can't possibly quantify. And that's the interesting bit about the film for me, is I will never have never been in that situation, so I can't empathize, but it's one of the nicest documentaries that I've watched, and she comes across as one of the nicest people.
Oh yeah.
She's one of the most deeply impressive people.
Yeah.
In 4 years of doing this. Bloody hell.
She's also a total natural on camera.
Yes, she's great. Absolutely.
So Adam Hills is doing the voiceover on it.
Hmm.
I've never seen it. When they talk about the beginning and they're having a discussion, she explains to him what she's thinking of doing.
Mm.
And he says, well, let's make a... So when you watch this documentary, she starts it with two legs.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like a documentary. So going into the amputation and coming out of the amputation is part of the documentary.
Yeah.
Yes.
It is. It's mind-blowing. It's a mind-blowing doc.
So somebody told me, you have to watch this. I saw the title of it and I thought, okay. Yeah. I'll have a look at it and I'll see what it's... And I was expecting something like an accident to have happened.
Mm.
And that just shows my naivety. But I was expecting that to have happened for her to want to have an amputation.
Yeah.
But it's this build-up over her entire life of pain that builds to this point of the amputation. So the documentary is her journey through the amputation into the Commonwealth Games, because they were taking place in Birmingham and she wanted to compete in those. And it's fascinating on a lot of levels. So the bit you were talking about earlier about the training that's involved in being a swimmer, she has such a long period out of the pool, partly because of the elbow injury that put her out of the Paralympics, but then with planning for the amputation and then with a couple of problems that happen once the amputation's happened, waiting for her prosthetic to be made, all this kind of stuff sort of gets in the way then of her training properly for the Commonwealth Games.
One thing which had never occurred to me is that she has problems with her elbows because of using crutches all the time. And if you notice, when she's getting in the pool, she's got scars on both her elbows. And that was just, it was just an aspect of her disability that I hadn't considered before.
She will make a real difference, a really profound difference to a lot of young kids.
Yeah.
And to a lot of young kids' families.
Yeah.
And this documentary will be massive. Because her attitude to everything, as a dad, I was probably filling up watching this. Because she's young enough to have a lot of video footage of being a kid. And they're just the cutest kid, like on the bike and in the garden and doing the cartwheels. And kids don't know any different, right? She's born that way, right? And as a parent, all you want is your kids to be happy and healthy. And she's a happy, she's a lovely kid, but she would have been in pain from that age. They show her like in double casts when she's really young and they say the pain's going to get worse. As a parent, it must be paralyzing that knowing that all the time. Her attitude to everything, when she decides to have the amputation, when she had that bye-bye leg party with her
parents. That's amazing.
Absolutely fantastic.
Refers to it as the chop.
They're singing bye-bye leg day too. You're like, what I love about the doc is it's really, lighthearted is the wrong word, but just has a good feel to it.
But do you remember we watched a thing before about Tani Gray, and people think when she's in a wheelchair, that is in some way a sad thing for her. Her saying, I loved it because for the first time, my radius in the world wasn't 15 feet. I could go places and do stuff.
Yeah.
So she was saying that when she's in the pool, she saw people in her category. Because when she had the amputation, she remained in the same category.
Yeah.
Because there was no use of that leg anyway. Would she see the girls there with prosthetic and think, look, I can eat an ice cream if I had one of those. I could walk places. I could use my hands for something that wasn't just holding fucking crutches. So if you're a kid or a young person that's weighing that up, that horrible decision up, and it is a horrible decision, you know, seeing this will absolutely change your life for the better. I can't say enough about this woman. I watched it sort of filling up all the way through it. It's not a particularly long documentary. I couldn't get over it. I couldn't get over her attitude. Yes. I couldn't get over how positive she is. I couldn't get over it.
Fantastic grandparents. Oh, and were your biggest fans? Oh my God. And her mum and dad are clearly great parents. And at the end, you know, she wins gold at the Commonwealth Games, which has always been her ambition. And I think because she's so sunny and bright and positive in her disposition, you could be forgiven for thinking that it's easier than it is.
Yes. Yeah.
But then at the end, I think it might be a grandmother who says, I've seen her scream in pain. Now, to not just be miserable all the time and morose, and for that to be your default setting when you scream in pain on a regular basis. And also, I dislike swimming. Like I think if it wasn't for the kids, I would never go swimming ever again. I would go as far as saying I hate swimming, actually. But when she says, but I love it in the pool because I'm free and I'm the same as everyone else.
Yeah.
Because I can swim just as fast as people who are able-bodied. I thought, in fairness, swimming does have its benefits.
It's all right, isn't it? Yeah, it's good. Don't mind it.
All right, fair enough. I won't ban swimming then.
They put her in a sort of brace to try and correct her toes and her ankles.
Yeah.
And her mum had to turn the screw on that every day.
So you got, so the attempt to sort of twist the foot almost.
Yeah, so you had like straight cord there, pulling the toes and pulling the ankles and setting a sort of rigid, sort of like a halo brace on your leg.
Yeah.
And her mum saying, I had to turn those screws out. Okay, here we go again.
Yeah.
Mum talking about having to turn the screws on that and her daughter being in agony. And you had to do it as a parent doing it for your daughter. Fucking
yeah.
It was, I couldn't say, I can't say enough about the documentary. I can't say enough about her parents, everybody in it. Really.
Also, on a very, very prosaic level, like the three of us have children, when they're little, it's hard enough to get them to swallow fucking kelp ball.
When you know that's
going to do them good.
Have some Pirithon, it tastes nice.
Yeah, you're like,
just fucking that. That will stop the rash. Yeah. Come on.
So to do something that you know is going to cause them pain, the kind of pain no kid should have to feel, I don't know.
But she's so honest. At the end of it, she says, I have bad days now. It's not like it's all sunshine and roses. No, she has bad days, obviously.
Yeah.
She's still got the one foot that's got the same condition, and she's...
Yeah.
It's very hard to explain to a child that something will be good for them in the long run.
Mm. Yeah.
Absurd.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Under the age of 10, almost impossible.
Yeah.
And so it's the same argument as why kids would prefer to eat chips and cake every day as opposed to vegetables.
Yeah.
They don't care.
He's over broccoli,
they completely live in the moment. And so it's tightening the screw on that brace. I mean, I felt awfully sorry for the parents as well. It's no one should be put in that position.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Well, the first race back when she's lost the foot in was it Italy somewhere?
Yeah, yeah. In the World Champs.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's slower off the blocks because she can't push off for the blocks. So the sort of coach will hold your hips and she knows she lost them off the blocks. And then she's very honest. She said, I was behind, but I'm not normally behind at the start. So I went too fast in the first 25 and ended up blowing out and become second. But for her to say that silver medal, you know, we've said before about that shitty bloody attitude of the, you know, second place is first loser, all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it's not. Because she said, like, that silver medal to her meant as much as any gold medal she'd won.
Yeah. Well, the previous world, she got 6 golds. Yeah. And that world, she gets 1 silver. And that's the one she cries about.
Yeah, yeah.
And her dad's saying she never cries. That's not her way.
Yeah.
It's lovely. Everyone in that pool will have gone through their own shit.
Yes. Right?
Their whole
life. Yes, I was thinking that. Yeah.
And I'm not saying there's not camaraderie in athletics and swimming. Able-bodied, of course there is, yeah? Because your training's tough and the diet's tough and the travelling's tough and being away from the family's tough. But it's next level with the Paralympics.
Hmm.
So the girl who won it, the Italian girl, will know what she's been through.
Yeah.
So when they were hugging in the pool, I mean, don't... If you're an easy crier, which I am, I'm far from what she is, right? I'm the opposite of that. You will cry watching this doc.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's bloody brilliant. I mean, it's so impressive.
Yeah. The one of my favourite parts, which I wasn't sure how, because you two aren't good with sort of operations or goriness.
Oh, my God.
So I wasn't sure what this was going to be. The bit where she actually has the amputation and then she sort of shows the stump and you can kind of see the...
That is straight at you, that. There's no warning for that. She sort of picks her leg up and goes, oh, Jesus
Christ. There's a really... It's really nicely stitched and, you know, it's really sort of well... And then she goes off with her boyfriend on a night out.
Yeah.
And they go to a karaoke bar. Yeah.
Good moustache, by the way.
Yeah, I was wondering what you thought of his Mui. Yeah. It's very Australian Mui, I thought.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
He's young.
And he does a bit of karaoke. All fine. All good. And then she does some karaoke. And then she gets up to go to the toilet and falls down and lands on the stump and splits the stump wide open.
The bean, she calls it, doesn't she?
Yeah, she calls it the bean because it looks a little bit like, you know, a baked bean. A massive baked bean. And splits it down the stitches.
Oh, Christ. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
It is. That's the one bit that is kind of really hard to see, but I think still quite important to see. And the conversation she then has with Adam Hills, where he says, did you at any point think of saying to the people who run the bar that you had a leg when you came in here? when you started doing karaoke, I was like, that's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a perspective that you can have if you've been through similar.
It was lovely that she could speak to him on that level.
What does he call himself? Like the Yoda of legs?
Yeah.
Or the Yoda of amputation? I thought that's great.
Because he said the same, not the same condition, but he was born with that part of his, with a foot and a bottom of a leg.
Hmm.
But it was not functioning, and it was, you know, so they had an amputation when he was a little kid, though.
Hmm.
It's the whole sort of doing it. She said she had to go for a psychological test to prove she wasn't, it wasn't like some sort of, pardon the pun, it was like a knee-jerk reaction. She said, I've thought it through properly.
Yeah.
And I want to take my leg off. Because I'll have a quality of life that I haven't got now.
Hmm.
And the, also, mate, how good are prosthetics now?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You watch athletes and swimmers, you think, bloody hell, that has come on. Off the top of the show, we talked about the old days, but fucking prosthetics.
Well, we had Billy Munger on Fantasy Football League a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So he lost both his legs in a car accident when he was 17. So he was a F1 driver, I think.
Yeah, yeah. What was he, F1 or was he?
He was certainly a racing driver, and I think
F3. He was in the program to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And he plays five-a-side with his mates, but he's got different ones for sport, which are shorter. So when he plays five-a-side, you know, he's considerably shorter than he is when he's got his normal legs on.
Pair for limbo in a whole day.
I'm going to win this, lads.
You will lose.
But like, I can't remember if it made the edit, but we had clips of him scoring. He'd scored a hat trick like the previous Monday night, and he was in one of those five-a-side centres where they can film it. So he sent us him scoring all these goals. And yeah, I don't know when that became possible, but certainly not in the old days.
Mm.
And I just think with the last legs, look, she's been on the last leg. What that program's done is for the Paralympians with
huge,
especially the ones who've got personality and want to go into different things. Like Alice now, because she can be herself on that program in a scenario that isn't a post swim interview or a straight sort of sports based interview. If she wants to go on and present or whatever, she's clearly got the personality to be on television if she wanted to do that kind of thing. Because I was bowled over actually by how good she was on screen.
Yeah. But I think that show, you know, it's changed a lot of people's perceptions and attitudes towards disability generally, whether it's Paralympics itself or not. You know, I don't know Alex.
I didn't know at first why he was hosting it.
Yeah,
I just assumed he was able-bodied.
Yeah.
And again, that's it, isn't it? So, you know, does it affect him being a comedian in any way, shape, or form? No. Does it affect him presenting TV shows? No. So that then, the lack of relevance, I think, filters into people's heads then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you go, oh.
And there's little things all the time now when you're watching adverts. I notice an advert all the time. A couple of things. One is you don't see, well, you do still see what the Americans would call a size zero female, because obviously you know, slim women exist as well, right?
Hmm.
But you will see on advertised named at women, proper sized women, what I call, you know, real sized women, 14, 16, 18, whatever it might be, right? You see that all the time now. You never used to see that in the old days.
Yeah.
But it's never referenced. They're just in the advert.
Hmm.
And it's the same thing you will often now see in media campaigns, in adverts on TV, in poster campaigns. There'll just be people there in wheelchairs, or people there with prosthetics, or people there that you never used to, it was never incidental before. It was always always the focus of something.
Yes.
Which always sort of draws attention to it. Whereas if it's just, my kids don't think twice about it. Because it's just there now in things.
I tell you who does think stuff about it. Those people on bloody, I saw the Wales kit launch for the football kit earlier today. And it just, you know, as far as I was concerned, it was just some people wearing a kit. And then I looked at the comments because I wanted to see what people thought of the kit. And underneath it, fucking woke advert. And I was like, what? What is woke about this? It's just, and I scroll back and it's like, I don't know. I think like it might have had Sophie Ingle in the photo as well as a bloke. And I was like, shut up. You think, fucking woke advert.
I just give up on those dickheads.
It just made, and you think, oh, okay, so there are still bell ends.
Why is woke bad?
I don't know.
Look at you caring about other people.
But also part of me then was thinking, what, you want them to only advertise to sell less shirts? You want them to sell because you don't understand marketing as a start point, let alone whatever the motivation is behind it. They've thought we can sell half, twice as many
now. The FAW benefits from selling shirts, you stupid twat.
So if they can sell more to some women as well, I think that'd be all right for you, mate. but I couldn't be asked to reply that because Your life's too short.
I just block a lot now. I block easier. On a daily basis. Because people say it's an echo chamber. Good. That's perfectly fine by me. I wanted to be an echo chamber.
But also, life used to be an echo chamber because I used to hang out with people I liked.
Yeah, exactly. You know the people you hate.
I didn't hang out with homophobes and sexists.
I started going to the pub in 1997 or whatever it was.
Hey, Mr. Davis, is Dave there? I thought you didn't like Dave. No, I hate him. But does he want to go to the pub?
I find his views abhorrent, but let's go for a pint.
Yeah, yeah. Excuse me, are there any cunts who fancy a drink?
You want to come over the park, Pete? You said you hate me because I'm a racist. Oh, yeah, I do hate you because you're racist, but come on, let's go.
Let's have a chat and an argument as we go around the park.
I've built my entire life trying to build a collection of friends who I like. It's absolutely mental, the idea.
I was blocking people the old-fashioned way for 40 years.
That's exactly what life was.
Blocking people, for real.
Yeah, yeah. By just not answering their calls, and in some cases, moving away.
Not calling for them, not talking to them, and not standing by them.
And when they say racist things, moving away from
them. Yeah. Should we go to the Builder's Arms? I'd rather not. Jamie's in there. Whoa, another echo chamber. No, I just don't want to drink with a complete penis.
What, just because he always calls you a cunt and a snowflake? Yes, that's exactly why.
Yeah.
Have a game of pool with him. I don't want to. I hate him.
Jamie's a fucking wanker.
He's an absolute prick. What, you're just going to walk away?
Yes.
Yes, obviously. I'm not a fucking maniac.
Blocked him, have you? You thin-skinned bastard.
Snowflake. You just see Nigel Farage, one of the, a lot of people who hate him, just to prove he's not a snowflake.
Hey, Nigel, fancy a drink?
Let's have a chat about everything, yeah. Nigel.
The pub would be absolutely horrible.
Imagine if the real world was like social media.
It would be horrible if you were just surrounded by people.
This wedding's like a fucking echo chamber, mate. It's just people you like. I've invited them.
It would be so confrontational if every conversation was with people you disagreed with.
Just got to invite everyone to your wedding.
You'd get home.
People you don't know, people
you
hate.
Mentally shattered. You know that In Betweeners clip? It's like a meme on online where he comes home, pretends everything's fine, flops on the bed, turns on the telly, and then bursts into tears. That's how the end of every day would be.
You're telling your mate a story, just sat in a coffee shop, and eight people just walk over to you and go, "That never fucking happened.
Disagree with
you liar.
Did not happen at the Year Award." What?
Yeah.
What?
Just saying something good happened. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, from now on, I'm going to show people this documentary and are judged on their reactions as to whether they're going to be my friends from now on.
Yeah.
This is my barometer from now on.
If anything, my real life is much more judgmental than my online life. I haven't got like 10,000 actual friends. You know.
That's the other bit as well. Imagine that. Imagine how awkward and painful that would always be. You've got to pull together your wedding list out of your 18,000 friends.
Hang on a second. Let me just check my followers. They're all right. They're, invite them all. Yeah. Let's make sure there's a great diversity of opinion at my wedding.
Yeah, the whole bloody echo chamber argument just is inane. Life is an echo chamber as you go through it. You discard the dickheads. And the dickheads I discard will think I'm a dickhead. And that's fine. And they'll find other dickheads that they like.
You'll be in a gang of people who other people regard as dickheads.
I thought I was a dickhead before social media, and I'm sure they block me in real life by not returning my calls. And that's fine. And not call it.
I didn't go to plenty of birthday parties as a kid.
And it was hurtful then. But I'm over it now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cried a lot.
It's part of life.
Yes, I never got invited to parties, but it's absolutely fine.
Develop my famous thin skin.
My famous thin skin. Make it sound like a recipe.
Yeah, the other thing, the thin skin. An absolute random stranger you'd never meet and never will meet to call you a prick. Doesn't make you thin-skinned, not want to listen to that, does it?
That's not the same thing.
That's not thin-skinned. I just do this for fun and I don't want to talk to you. I want someone to call me a dickhead. I'll just talk to you. It's fine.
Her opinions are based in fact. She knows.
I like her.
Experience and fact.
She gets a pass.
She's got a dossier. Yeah.
The dickhead files.
The dickhead files.
Okay, now. So yeah, this I think is
great choice. Yeah, mate.
Brilliant choice. I loved watching this.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant documentary.
It was a really cool thing, and just it
life
it's
affirming.
Well,
doctors.
Worth 40 minutes of your life watching. So it's about Alice Tai, and it's called Amputating Alice. You can see it on, I'll put a link into it. There's a couple, because one of them's on YouTube. There's a version of it on there. Because
say YouTube again?
YouTube. I was in the middle of, YouTube.
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 That was for the Scottish listeners.
It's on YouTube, because Channel 4 are quite good at doing that sort of stuff. They kind of don't seem that bothered about where people watch their content, which I think is the correct decision in life.
Yeah.
And it's also on the Channel 4 thing, whatever it's called these days, on their player.
Watch it. Is it called All 4 now?
Amputating Alice. I don't know. I think it's just called Channel 4, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think they got rid of everyone calls it 4OD still.
Yeah.
But I think it's just Channel 4.
I remember when Elon Musk rebranded Twitter as X.
That worked well.
Whatever is in charge.
Everyone refers to it as
whoever's in charge X. Of the Channel 4 streaming platform Twitter were like, mate, people still call us 4OD, and we haven't been that since 2009.
This is not going to work, pal.
People will be saying X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, until the day I die.
Yes.
Right, it is book time on the Socially Distant Sports Bar. Michael, what have you got?
Right, this is a book I bought very recently. Actually bought a book. It is on the back of watching the documentary about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is fantastic.
Yeah.
This is, and in my mind, the greatest bodybuilder of all time, and he always will be.
Can I say something?
Did you buy this for me?
Yeah, you didn't buy that. I bought it for you as a Christmas present.
Oh. Fucking hell, what? I know that a Patreon bought it for me because they always write something inside.
No, I didn't know.
So I thought I must have bought this. Fair play to me. Have you bought this for me?
Fair play to me.
Fucking moron. I bought that for you. Fair play to me. I bought this.
That's so funny.
I did say quite recently, didn't I?
Oh, that's so funny. Go on. Fair play to me.
I've read cheers, Steph. That's very kind of you. Have I been billed for it?
Oh, yeah. It was on December's invoice. Have a look.
Yeah. I wonder what that 20 quid was for.
Christmas present, brackets, Mike.
So, oh, thanks, mate.
That's all good.
I've just started it now.
Any good?
Yes, it's good, yeah.
Cool.
I'm thinking of choosing it for the podcast. So this book bought me by my good friend Stefan Guerrero is Arnold Schwarzenegger's Be Useful, 7 Tools for Life. I just love his attitude to things. He's the ultimate in just getting things done.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's like he's a bit too on the nose with it sometimes.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bloke who thinks that any sort of weakness is a sign of weakness.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so there it is. I haven't even started reading it yet.
That's fine.
This is my new book that I'm reading now.
That's good.
Oh, lovely. It's
nice. That I just bought for myself quite recently.
I'm glad you bought it for yourself. That's really good.
I looked at your face as I was going, I thought,
yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Ah, oh, shit, Steph.
Maybe Steph bought this for me.
What I have done is I've managed to find some Barry John books.
Oh,
so I'll
post
those out to you. And we can do that in the very nearish future.
Fantastic.
Can I read you the back cover of...
yes, you can.
Yeah.
...of Arnold Schwarzenegger's 7 Tools for Life?
Weakness is a weakness, and I don't stand for weakness.
Weakness is one of the weaknesses.
I mean, a lot of this is fairly... He's not reinventing the wheel, you're on the back. If there's one unavoidable truth in the world, it is that there is no substitute for putting in the work.
It's good.
Right?
That's true. Good. Yeah, true.
There is no shortcut or growth hack or magic pill that can get you around the hard work of doing your job well, of winning something you care about, or of making your dreams come true.
Maybe.
That's the same thing again. He said it twice, isn't he?
Yeah, I would say that's, yeah.
Has he not heard of podcasting? It is a piece
of exactly, yeah.
People have tried to cut... I'll stop doing the accents. It's turning French for some reason. I can't do accents from what... Unless it's Bill McLaren. I'll do it as Bill McLaren.
Do it as Bill McLaren.
People try to cut corners and skips in this process for as long as hard work has been hard. The deal is a part of Bill McLaren reading the last part of Arnold Schwarzenegger's book. Eventually, those people either fall behind or get left in our dust because working your ass off is the only thing that works 100% of the time for 100% of the things worth achieving. There we go. And that's young Arnold Schwarzenegger there, the young...
I just can't imagine Bill McLaren saying that.
Young Arnold Schwarzenegger there, a huge man at 6 feet 7 inches, and almost 20 stones from Graz in Austria, of all places. But, yeah, there we go. That is Be Useful, Seven Tools for Life by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That was part two of the Socially Distanced Sports Bar. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you had fun. If you did, tell your friends about the Socially Distanced Sports Bar. We make one of these every single week and we really enjoy doing it. We've never really done any marketing sort of around the podcast. So, you know, all the people who we have listening to it have kind of tripped over and fallen and it's somehow landed in their phone. But I'm never really quite sure how that's happened. But thank you for listening. And if you would like to tell your friends about it, sort of the word of mouth publicity is probably what we're looking at here. We should probably just do some publicity, really. Thank you for listening. If you like what you've heard so far, click on the follow show button and the Socially Distanced Sports Bar will land in your phone every Wednesday for part one, every Friday for part two, and every Sunday for a pint-size episode from our archive, a little snippet of the Socially Distanced Sports Bar to help get you through your Sunday morning.